Tonight I want to preach a message to you entitled, Pleasing God More and More. You remember that these believers were walking with the Lord. They were very much following the fact that Paul had exhorted them and instructed them in the ways of God. And remember, he and the team got the report from Timothy that, wow, the Thessalonians are walking with the Lord. But you know, Paul had enough sense as a spiritual leader that we always need encouragement. We always need reminders. We always need just a little bit more influence, a godly influence, I should say, to take that next step, that spiritual step. I need that. You need that. We all need that. Hence, one of the reasons we do come together in the local church to hear the Word of God taught and preached. And while we do serve the Lord together in all those things, we're wanting to always take the next step in our walk with God. And I want to draw your attention. He says here, furthermore, again, the practicality of the Christian life, he says, we beseech. Again, that's not flippant. That's Paul saying, I beg you. I truly urge you, brethren. And then he says, and exhort you. That's a strong word for I encourage you. So he's not rebuking them here. I don't think he's saying here, you need to start doing this. I think he's saying, you need to continue doing this. Continue in the way that I have taught you and what you're currently doing. He says, I exhort you by the Lord Jesus because he has the authority of the Word of God. And we know that when we preach with the authority of God's Word, we preach it as the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says that as you have received of us the teaching that they gave, how you ought, now this is what I want to focus on, how you ought to walk and to please God. And then he says, so ye would abound more and more. And again, the title of tonight's message, Pleasing God More and More. Now, when Paul says here, you received of us, that is proof that Paul did not just teach them doctrine. He also taught them not only the doctrine of Jesus' coming, the rapture, but he taught them what that should mean for us, how we should be living out our lives. And that is encouraging because, again, that little time that he had with them, he poured into them and they received it by faith. I believe that that's a great thing for us to do. It is to redeem the time. When you're under God's Word in any way, we should profit from it. Just truly soak it in while you can. I don't know. Sometimes I think about this fact. I think maybe sometimes we take coming to church for granted. What do I mean by that? There could be something that could come in your life that would have you, bound to your home, bedridden in some way, some illness could have you where you could not physically go to church. And I think we just need to count it a blessing as God's given us the physical ability, the mental capacity, and the spiritual intuitiveness to come and come to church and to hear the Word of God and to seek to, Lord, I want to do more. I want to grow. And that's what I see happening here. So let's look at first of all, this what it means to please God. Paul uses that often in Scripture, what it means to please the Lord, well-pleasing to the Lord. He talks about that often. And someone has said that everyone lives to please someone. I'll say that again. Everyone lives to please someone. It could be to please himself or his spouse or his parents or his child or his God or really someone else. But there's someone always wanting to please. But I think the most important goal in the Christian's life is this. Lord, I want to please you. I want to please you. I want to please God. And so Paul focused that this motivation for correct living is this: Lord, I love you and I want to please you. What does it mean to please God? I came up with this definition as I looked in my study at a couple different that were given. And I think this is fitting. Maybe you could come up with one. It would probably be better. But this is one that I came up with. What does it mean to please God? Or it means this: to accommodate myself to the desires, interest, and commands of God. It is to accommodate myself to the desires and the interest of God Almighty, His commands. It is me saying, Lord, I want to set aside myself in order to fulfill Your desires for my life. I want to do what You want me to do. I really want to be interested in what You're interested in. And I love this, because this is the way God works. When we walk with God, do you know what He does? It says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, and also in Him, the Lord, it says He will give you the desires of your heart. So that's a blessing, because they go right together, do they not? As I'm walking with God, He puts those desires in my heart to please Him. Now, who are those that cannot please God? Of course, lost people cannot please God. But even Christians, you know, there are some Christians that cannot please God. Who are those Christians? Well, it's the Christians that walk in the flesh. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that they that walk in the flesh cannot please God. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. So them that are in the flesh cannot please God. But there's another group of Christians that cannot please God. And that's those that live with unbelief, doubt, because without faith, Hebrews chapter 11 says it is impossible to please God. We cannot please the Lord with a heart of unbelief. And so what we have here is Paul is writing to these believers, hey, you keep trusting the Lord. You keep walking in the Spirit. And you will please Him. You will have His desires and His interests before you as a priority. Now, I want us to notice this next word. I didn't look at it first because I wanted to talk about what it means to please God. But then he uses this word, walk. He talks a lot about walking. Just out of curiosity, is there anybody here tonight that just enjoys going for a walk? Do you enjoy walking? Yeah. Walking is a good way to get some exercise. It's a good way to relieve some stress. And it's something that most people can do. We may not be able to run marathons, though we can try. We may not even be able to run a 5K. You may not even be able to jog or do hurdles, but a lot of us, we can walk. And walking is important. And so Paul uses the idea of walking a lot. In fact, in Ephesians, he uses it several different times. You remember in chapter 4, he says, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Then he says in chapter 4, verse 17, walk not as other Gentiles walk. So there is a bad walk, the walk that are pleasing themselves. But then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, he says, walk as children of light. He also talks to the Corinthians, and he tells them, he says, we what by faith and not by sight. What does he say we do? We walk. We walk by faith. That idea of walking is one step at a time. He didn't say running or jumping, leaping. He simply said that the Christian life can be best described as a walk that is gradual but consistent and in the right direction, and that is the direction that God gives us. Walking suggests progress. And notice when he says at the end of verse 1, he says, I want you to walk and please God so ye would abound. What are the next three words? More and more. As we close out 2025, I want to thank each of you for the Christian growth in your life, for the Christian growth steps you have made spiritually in your life. And I don't doubt a bit that everyone in this room has made some specific decisions in your spiritual journey this year. I believe you have. I thank you for that. But I want to encourage you, and I speak to my own heart, let's don't stop. Let's keep walking, that we may abound more and more. The next step is the progress we want to make. It's interesting that walk needs to be in the right way. Do you know what Christianity was called before it was called Christianity? Anybody want to take a guess? Bible trivia tonight? The Way. It was called The Way. The people of The Way. It was the way they were walking. The way they were, the word walking gives the idea of their lifestyle, their faith being lived out. It was the people in the way, and it was specifically in the way of Christ, Jesus Christ. It was, they were going in the way of that man, the man they crucified, but they were following that way, and we want to be people who are walking in the way. The way of Christ. The way of light. We need to be walking in that direction, and we need to be walking in the light. Because Satan's got all kinds of traps for us. He's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve and ways to deceive us. And it's so important that as we're walking in the light. And that's why 1 John says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. So we want to walk in the light as He is in the light. It's a walk. It's a steady walk going in the right direction. And success, I believe, is just long obedience in the right direction. It really is. It's just walking with the Lord. I got to share this with you. It was quite fascinating, and I was not expecting this. I want to tell you, it's one of those things that when you start a conversation, you get into it and you realize you're hearing things that you did not expect to hear at that moment. I'm sure you've found yourself there in those times. That happened often, by the way, when Brother Bill Weatherly was living. If you ever got in a conversation with Bill Weatherly, you were going to find out some very interesting facts, some stories that you may have even heard numerous times. But those of you that didn't have the privilege of meeting Brother Bill Weatherly, he was a member here for many years, and his wife, Betty. She passed in 2017, and Brother Bill just passed, I believe it was in 2023. Okay, so just a couple years ago, but you never knew. But this was an older gentleman that I met that lives in my neighborhood. He doesn't live on the same street, but he lives in the same area. His name's Mr. Dave, and nice man of very few words. And that's one of the things that caught me off guard when I approached him this day. He's a man of very few words, always very kind, you know, just gives you a greeting of some sort, but just keeps to himself. But he walks all the time. Rain or shine, wind, whatever, again, cold, hot, he is walking. He's not walking fast. He's just got a steady, slow, but consistent walk. And our kids and I, we see him a good bit. And this particular day, I just felt led to roll down my windows. I was pulling in. I was not walking. I was driving. But Mr. Dave was walking. And I rolled down my window. I said, "Hey, Mr. Dave, how's it going?" And I just wanted to encourage him. I said, "Mr. Dave, I just want to tell you something. I admire your discipline. I admire your consistency. My family, we see you walking all the time, just a steady walk. You don't look like you're in a hurry, but you're just walking. You're consistent no matter what the weather is. You obviously have not made an excuse. You're just walking. And so he kind of listened and he kind of smiled. And I said, I don't know why I asked this, but I did. I said, "Mr. Dave, what is your secret?" I don't know why I asked that, but I did. And he just kind of smiled. He said, "Well," he said, "I just, one day I was retired and I said, you know, I just felt like I need to start exercising to take care of myself." And he said, "I knew I was thinking about running, but I knew that wouldn't last long." And he said, "But I decided to just start walking." And he said, "I started a few miles a day." And he said, "You know what?" And then I started setting some goals for myself. He said, I set a goal for 500 miles for the year, to walk 500 miles. And he says, I got it. I met my goal. And then he says, I said, "You know what? I'll try to walk 1,000 miles the next year." And he said, "I set a goal and I just worked towards it. I just got up and I said, you know, I want to put in my miles for the day and I want to try to reach." And he said, "I reached." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "Then," he said, "I think I'll try to walk 5,000 miles in 3 years." 5,000 miles in 3 years. And he said, "You know, I think I'm going to try that." So he put his mind to it and he just said, "You know what? I just said, I'm going to do it." And he met that goal. And then what he said next is what really kind of caught me off guard. And he said to himself, "I wonder what I can do now." And he said, "You know, for whatever reason, the number of the distance around the earth came to my mind." And he gave me the number. I wouldn't have known it unless he told me and I had to look it up again. But 24,901 miles is around the earth, the equator. Okay, 24,901 miles. And he said to himself, "You know what? I think I'm going to try that." Not literally, of course, but he was going to try to walk that many miles. He already had 4,500 in his belt. So he was just going to continue from that and finish off the distance. And so he said, and this is telling me, he said 12 years later, he accomplished his goal. 24,901 miles in 20 years. I was like, "Wow, Mr. Dave." And I was just wondering what he was going to say next. And I was just thinking, I hope he doesn't say, "Well, I got to thinking about the distance between the earth and the sun." Like, you'll never make it. but he just said, "I'm thinking about it." I'm just still thinking about what my next goal is going to be. But I just keep walking. And I just say that, give that illustration tonight to remind us of this. You know, it was just one step at a time. It was a goal that he had in his mind that he was going to reach, and he was just going to seek to be faithful. Did he have days that he didn't feel like it, or that he didn't do as many miles, or that he didn't make it out? Of course, days that he was sick, I'm sure you can name it. But what it reminded me of is the Christian life is a walk. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon that you walk one step at a time. And I just want to encourage you tonight, just keep taking the steps. They may even be baby steps. They may be small steps. But nevertheless, just take steps. Keep growing in the Lord. Let Him use, as I preached this morning, the things that we're trusting Him for. Let Him use that in your life to make that next step of Christian growth. That's what Paul was telling the Thessalonians. Hey, keep moving. Keep pressing. Keep growing in the Lord to please the Lord, and do it by walking with Him. Let's pray together.